Welcome again. We're so glad that you guys are with us this morning. I'm going to be bringing the message this morning, kicking off our new series, and we're really excited about it. So we have 2 weeks of school left in the Snoqualmie Valley, and we're so excited. And I don't know about you, but I took advantage a little bit of the sunny summer-ish weather that we had yesterday, and I found myself just a smidge sunburned this morning, but it was just so awesome to have. I mean, it's just glorious, isn't it? It's beautiful. I know that my kids are certainly looking forward to summer break, and I will be looking forward to it for at least a month into it, and then it will probably be ready for fall to start over again. But we are here at Cascade are actually kicking off summer a little bit earlier. We're getting in the mood, so today marks the beginning of summer for us. Our kids are leveling up, which is a big deal. If you're in fifth grade, you get to join the middle school. You get to go all the summer events with our youth group, which is super fun. And then next week, the kids are going to be joining us in the service. We're going to do a family Sunday, kind of as a bridge between kids programming in the back. So Julie Breston is going to be bringing the word to you guys next week. We're so thankful for her. And she is going to be telling the story of Zacchaeus. And then Kids Praise is going to be singing the story of Zacchaeus for you next week. And that's going to be really great. So please plan on coming next Sunday. Pastor Angela is also going to be passing out, they're called Summer Power Packs, and they're going to be awesome, and you're not going to want to miss them for your family. That's just a little bit of a teaser. We will have those available for all of our families to kind of gear up and get ready for summer. We're trying really hard to be intentional with our time this summer, because we know that if you aren't intentional, then summer just flies on by. So we have lots of fun things that are happening. We're hoping that you will mark some of them down on your calendar and join us here at church for some of the fun stuff. But that's going to be next week. You'll kind of get all the summer stuff next week in the Power Pack. So be looking for that. All right. So this summer, everything that we are doing this summer has to do with invitation. And so that's actually the name of our sermon series. It's not too tricky. Invitation is the title of our series, and we're going to be talking about in June and July. And then in August, we're going to be doing our At the Movies series again, which was a huge hit last summer, and we had so much fun doing it. So you will want to mark your calendar for that. There's just a ton of really fun things happening. There's a summer flyer that's going to be up there eventually. And those are some of the things. I know that the women's ministry is coming up with some really fun things as well for us to do. And then again, mark your calendar for the August series. But all of these opportunities have one thing in common, and that's invitation. They are all opportunities to invite. Yes, we do them so that we can be together and have a great time with all of you guys. But our hope is that you'll be inspired to invite some of your friends, invite your neighbors, invite your family to join us here at Cascade this summer. So I hope that you'll do that. We've made a commitment these last 12 months, both as a staff as well as a leadership team, to really try and give opportunities to connect, opportunities for community, and then these opportunities for invitation. How can we be more connected with one another, and how do we best invite folks to join us in God's mission? Those are kind of the questions that we've been asking. So when we were brainstorming, what do we want to do this summer? For those of you who don't know, Pastor Dan started his ministry renewal leave this week. So he's going to be joining us again in August, but he's taking some time these next couple months. But what did we want to talk about? We were trying to think of, what do we want to talk about when he's away? What are some of the things that we want to do? Invitation was a no-brainer for us. This last month, we kind of kicked it off, if you will, really, with a message series on 1 Peter. And, you know, Dan was talking about what does it mean to be hopeful, what does it mean to be holy, and what does it mean to be chosen. And something that he preached last week that actually really stood out to me and I thought was a perfect segue into our message this morning is, what does it mean to be built? What does it mean for the church to be built, to be unified? As we grow in unity, we will grow together. And God wants us to be a holy people that are joyful, generous, and just. Christ is the cornerstone, but we are the living stones, and we're called to be together with him and one another. So that's really what our series is about. It's about we are invited to be with God and to be together this summer. So we hope that it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. So We're going to learn more about God's invitation. He's inviting us into relationship with himself, but again, he's inviting us into relationship with others. And so each week we're going to be looking at a different piece of God's word, a different story from the Bible, and kind of taking it deeper and applying it into our lives. So we're really excited about it. There's three parts. Restoring the invitation is the first one, extending the invitation, and accepting the invitation. And today I'm going to kind of be framing it all up with God's invitation. What exactly is God's invitation? So starting next week, we're going to talk about extending the invitation. That's what Julie is going to be kicking us off in that section. Restoring is first, restoring the invitation. These are going to be stories that explain how the invitation of Jesus has always been for everyone. It has always been for everyone. Everybody is welcome at the table. Everyone is welcome in community with God and with one another. We are all children of God, and that's where our identity is. It's in him. And society and culture seems to have shifted away from that truth, but we'll be looking at Bible stories where the invitation is restored. The invitation is restored to how God intended it, and that's for all. So we're going to talk about Zacchaeus. Pastor Tim is going to preach about the prodigal son on Father's Day. And then he's going to talk about our call to fish in John 21. Yes, salmon season opened in the Puget Sound, apparently, on Saturday for you fishermen among us. And so when I say we are called to fish, I'm sure that my husband's like, wait, what? What? Let's get it on our calendar. It's already on our calendar. But we do have a call to fish, and what does that actually look like? So Pastor Tim's going to be talking about that. And then we're going to transition to extending the invitation, and we're going to look at how it's extended. Like, how is the invitation extended? Has it been extended through time? And kind of like, who then do we extend it to? So Tim's going to be preaching about Abraham and the angels and the importance of hospitality, even when it's extended to our enemies, like Elisha, when he extended it to the general. Julie's going to preach again about it with Philip and how he took the invitation, both near and far, how precious that invitation was. It's gonna be great, you guys. I'm really excited because this right here, this Bible, this is an invitation. It might as well be in an envelope for us. It's an invitation to know God more. And you know, what do we do when we accept that invitation? What does that look like? From the beginning of time until the end of time, God has been and will continue to invite us to be with him and to be together. Another way to put it is that we are invited into God's presence together. He set it up that way. We see it in the early church, and then we're invited to do that today. It's actually what we are doing today together. It's an awesome part of the story. So before we dive into the word, I would love for you guys to pray with me as we continue. Father God, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your word and that it truly is an invitation for us. I'm so thankful that you desire to have a relationship with each and every one of us, God, that you know us so well and you still want to be with us. Thank you for that. Father, I pray that that you would be in my words this morning. Let them be your words. Help us all to have ears to hear, God, and hearts to absorb, and a willingness to obey what you would have us today. Holy Spirit, come into this place and be among us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So our first passage is out of Exodus 24. 24, 1 through 11. So if you are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. All right. It says, then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord, and others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. And then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded again, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against the elders, these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, thanks, guys. So it started, this passage begins, it's a little bit windy up here. I gotta prop this open. This passage begins with an invitation from the Lord to Moses saying, come up to the mountain, right? Come up together. But first, they're to worship at a distance, and only Moses was asked to approach the Lord directly, right? So then Moses told the people all that the Lord had said, and they, with one voice, said, everything that the Lord has said, we will do. And so he wrote down everything that the Lord said, and then the next morning he went up and built an altar, right? And it talked about the 12 pillars representing the 12 tribes. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And so to us, as we're reading this in our culture today, it seems a little bit bloody, and maybe at a minimum, a little bit unusual, honestly, right? It's not something that we do in our culture today. And in order to really understand this ceremony, we do need to look at God's view of sin and forgiveness, okay? So as the God of the universe, he is both holy and just. He condemns sin, and he judges it worthy of death, right? And in the Old Testament, God accepted the death of an animal as a substitute for the sinner. The animal's blood was proof, if you will, that a life had been given for another. And that blood symbolizes both the death of the animal, but also the life that was spared. Okay, it's a beautiful picture, even if it's a little bit bloody. So when Moses took half the blood and he put it on the altar, he put it in the bowls, he put some in the bowls and then he put some at the altar. And then again, the people said, we will obey what the Lord has said, okay? So it was a way for them to acknowledge it and say, okay, this is what we're gonna be doing. So Moses then took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. What? Right? This is the blood of the covenant of the Lord that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So half the blood went on the altar, and then half of it went onto the sinner, or onto the people. And that really is representative that the sacrifice had been made. The sacrifice had been made. Okay, the penalty for their sin had been paid, and they then for can be reunited with God. All right, and so it was really a sign that their sins had been atoned for, okay, and that they were ready to draw near to God. So at that time, so after that, the ceremony took place, Moses and Aaron and the elders of Israel went up, and it says that they saw God, which I think I completely missed this verse in the Bible as I've read it. This was one of my, when studying it, was one of the first times that I'd done that, because they saw God. That's actually quite amazing, because God is so glorious that anybody who would see him would die, right? And we know that's from the Bible as well. And so it's amazing that it says that they saw God, okay? But we're not, there's actually a lot of commentary about, well, did they just see his feet and reflection? How did they actually, like, what did they actually see? And we're not going to get into that because I'm not a scholar of this particular passage in that way. But something that I wanted to point out was it said they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire or lapis lazuli. I don't know. I'm not a rock scholar, but that's what it says. It says it was as bright as the sky. And during this time of fellowship with God, They saw God, they were together, they ate, and they drank. Okay? So whether or not if they saw his feet, whether or not they saw a reflection of God, the important thing is that they were with God. They were with God, together on a slab the color of the sky. They were with God. And they were also with one another. And in that fellowship time, they sat and they ate and they drank together. They were together with God. And so in the Old Testament, an animal sacrifice was needed for this to happen, right? But today, for us, Jesus was that sacrifice. Jesus already paid the price once and for all, for all of us, so that everyone can approach God. And that is exactly what God is inviting us to do. He's inviting us to come to him and to join him and be with him, just like in Exodus. Every day, the Lord is inviting us to draw close and have fellowship with him and with one another. He wants to be near us. He's made a way to be near us. And he wants us to do it together. So if you fast forward, our next passage is going to be in Acts 2. So there's a whole lot of story in between Exodus and Acts 2, okay? And really, we know that the people of Israel continued to make mistakes. And although they did say twice in this passage, they said, we will obey everything that the Lord says, right? So many times we know that they didn't obey, okay? They still make mistakes and they have to come back to the Lord. And actually only a couple chapters later, they build like a golden calf to worship. I mean, they like really fail, right? Like major a couple chapters later. But, you know, these were not perfect people. And I think it's a beautiful picture for us because we are not perfect people. I fall short, I make mistakes, I sin, but every day Jesus invites me back. Every day he invites me to come and be with him. He invites us to join him, and he's not just inviting me, he's inviting all of you too. And that's what this is all about. It's about being invited by God to be with him. And we sang it this morning. I mean, the song choices this morning were fantastic because it really is come as you are. There's space at the table. Come as you are and be with God. No matter how many mistakes, no matter how much sin, no matter how much you feel like you are not worthy, Christ's sacrifice has made you so that you can come to God and be with him, just like that sacrifice with the Israelites was. Once and for all. That's God's invitation, to come as you are, okay? So we see that in Exodus at the very beginning. And so let's fast forward to Acts 2. That's our next passage. Excuse me. This one's a little bit harder because I have it like underlined major in my Bible here. Okay, so Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. We see a different step, if you will, to God's invitation. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the church, the followers of Jesus, they found themselves in a hard place. Okay, the Savior, their Savior, Jesus, was no longer right in front of them. And they were navigating life without a living, breathing Jesus, physical Jesus, right in front of them. And so really the majority of the books in the New Testament are devoted to helping people do life with God in the reality that Jesus was no longer alive on earth. Okay, and a few verses earlier in Acts, Peter says that the invitation to repent, believe, and be baptized is for everyone. Okay, so that's what the invitation is, for everyone to repent, believe, and be baptized. And then when they do enter our text here, that's what happens with the fellowship of believers. But you know what? Everyone was welcome, but there were questions, there were differences, there were tensions. The Jewish people and the Gentiles we're different from each other in so many ways. So many ways, but all were invited in. And life got sticky, but they navigated it together. In 1 Peter, which we've studied last month, Peter calls for unity, and that's what he's doing here in this passage as well. He's calling for the fellowship of believers to come together and be together. They devoted themselves to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer, to being together with God and with one another. It says that all the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Be together with God and be with one another. So just like Moses and Aaron, the people in the early church were together and they were with God. They prioritized their relationship with God and with one another. They came together at the table or on a slab as bright blue as the sky. They came together and prayed, broke bread at the table. And that's God's invitation to us still, right? Still today. So as we were brainstorming for this series, I shared about a book that I was reading with the staff. It's called The Turquoise Table by Kristen Schell. And it says, finding community and connection in your own front yard. So the key verse to this book is Romans 12:13. And it's take every opportunity to open your life and your home to others. But really the premise for it is Acts 2. How do we be the church together? And how do we be the church to the people around us, inviting them in? And like every good book, there's usually just a couple nuggets within a large book, or takeaways. And to be honest, this is a girl book. Do you guys know what I mean? This is a girl book, okay? It looks like a girl book. It's written by a woman for women. And I wish that it wasn't quite like that, because I do think that there's some nuggets that apply across the border. But you likely aren't going to see guys searching this out at Barnes & Noble or on Amazon. But in a nutshell, the book is about opening your home and your yard and your table to your friends, your neighbors, but also strangers. So it's good stuff, right? It was challenging in ways. So I was sharing about this, and one of the nuggets was that I really wish that I was more of a front yard person. So I love having people over to my house, but I mean, we're like in the side yard or in the backyard. Like, we're not in the front yard. And I do actually have a front yard, but I can't really remember a time where I did anything other than garden in my front yard. And so I was telling the staff about this. And then the other thing was that I really wanted a turquoise table in my yard, because I just think it'd look really great, hence the table that is right here. Okay? So we started talking about whether we are a front yard church. So are we a front yard church? Are we a church where we do life in the front yard for everybody to see? Are we that type of church? I want us to be that type of church. And so we're just talking about that, and how does summer night invites play into that, and how do we invite people, and what can that look like? And it was a great conversation. But then Pastor Tim made this awesome connection to Exodus 24. So first off, Pastor Tim is like the best person to brainstorm with about anything to do with the Bible, because he can just pull out verses all over the place. It's fantastic. So we're talking about turquoise table, and he's the one who connected this passage in Exodus. It says, the people of Israel from the beginning were invited to come up to be with the Lord. Not just with him, but together with him. And they ate and drank together on a slab the color of the sky. They ate and drank together on a turquoise table. Together, right? This is an awesome picture of what community can be like. They ate together and drank together on a slab the color of the sky. Okay, so really, as you know, right, just pulled it all together for me as we're talking about this, because yes, I don't have to go up Mount Sinai and sit on a slab up there. I can be in my yard and sit at a table with people as well. Then and now, this is what God's invitation is to us. Finding community and connection. If you feed them, they will come. Every time I say that, field of dreams, right? I mean, if you build it, they will come. But there's truth in that. If you feed, people have to eat, and some of my best times, some of my best memories are sitting around a table, visiting, chatting, being loud, talking over people, eating really good food, but being together. And so I really think it's a beautiful picture of what invitation can be. So it's going to be up here. This table's going to be up here all summer long. And my hope is that you guys will see it, and you'll be reminded of it, and you'll think about God's invitation to join him at the table with other people and what that can look like. So God's invitation is for us to be with him and to be with one another. So our application today is twofold. God is inviting you to be with him. So what does that look like for you? You know, we are all in different places on our faith journeys. And God's invitation is so personal, you guys. It is so personal to who you are and what you're going through right now. And he will meet you there. It's such a gift. It's such a gift knowing that our God is that big that he will meet you, each and every single one of you, exactly where you're at. So what does it look like? Are you ready or in a place where you can make the step and say, yes, I want Jesus to be the leader of my life. I want him to be my savior. Is that the place that you're in? Or maybe you want to take the next step in your journey and you're interested in being baptized. We're going to be having a baptism at the end of July. Maybe it's that public declaration that, yes, he is my savior and I'm ready for the world to know it. Maybe it's just prioritizing time with him. Prioritizing time with him. I mean, summertime in the Northwest is the best time to be with God in nature and to spend time with him and revel in his beauty, right? God wants you to be with him, and he's inviting you to do that. So what does it look like for you? That's the first question. What does God's invitation to you personally look like? But God is also inviting us to be with others, okay? What does that look like? And just like personal faith journeys are completely different from one another, personalities and whether or not we want to be with a lot of people is also completely different from one another, you know? But what does it look like for you to invite? Who will you invite? And what will you invite them to? Maybe it's, I mean, baseball season just wrapped up for my family, but we've made lots of invitations to baseball games. You know, join us for baseball. We have like 2 hours where we can talk while our kids play. Eli's 7. He's really good at baseball, but they only get to like 3 innings because they're just such long innings. So if you guys are parents with kiddos who play baseball, who are young, you understand that. But maybe it's a Bible study. Maybe it's inviting people over for dinner. Maybe it is inviting somebody to eat dinner in your front yard, right? Maybe it's, you know, an invite to one of the summer night invites or one of the summer activities with women's ministry. We're going to go rock climbing. We're going to go paddle boarding. Ladies, you want to be a part of that. It's going to be super fun. But maybe it's staying for brunch. Maybe it's finding ways to be together right here with our people here, too. It's staying for brunch or enjoying our summer snacks this summer as we kick those off. Maybe it is helping back in the back and serving and doing summer serving with Pastor Angela. God is inviting us to be together. So what does that look like for your family? It's going to look different for everybody. Just like our personal journeys with God are different, you know, how we are with others looks different too. So think about that. Talk about it with your spouse. Think about ways that you can engage with the people around you this summer. The entire Bible, this entire book, is an invitation. It's an invitation to all people everywhere to come up and join God and join him. It's pretty awesome, if you ask me. So as we close in prayer, we're going to actually be preparing for the Lord's table today, which I think is also just really special for us to have this time to come together and share the table and communion together. So all those who confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior are welcome and invited to join us this morning. And parents, we've had lots of questions about, well, is my child old enough? Are they ready for this? And, you know, we believe that you know best whether or not your child is at a point in their faith journey that they're ready to have communion. Okay, so if you would like to have your child join, you're welcome to head on back now to their classrooms and gather them and bring them forward. And as they do that, parents do that, I am going to pray to close this portion of our service. Father God, thank you so much that you invite us up, that you invite us in, that you love us so much that you are willing to meet us where we're at. God, thank you that you love us no matter what, that you love us no matter what we do or don't do. I'm just so thankful for the invitation to be with you. God, so I pray that you would challenge us each to find ways to be with you, that you would help us think about it this week. What does it look like for us personally, God? God, and I also pray that you would challenge us to invite, that you would challenge this church and everybody here to invite someone into their lives this summer, whether it's inviting them into this church building or inviting them to an activity with their family, a meal. God, you are so big and you love everyone here and everyone in this valley and everyone in this community and every single person that we are each connected to. So God, I pray that you would move among us, that you would help us to be your invitation to the world. Lord, we're just so thankful for this time and this space. And we pray that you'll just continue to bless this worship together. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen.